If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit BestWestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by HuntStand. HuntStand is the number one hunting app in the country, and at only $29.99, HuntStand offers a ton of functionality for hunters all over the country. Whether you own your own property or strictly hunt public, you can choose from over a dozen base maps, view property ownership information, 3D mapping, local weather, log your sightings and harvest, as well as use their trail cam management software, and print maps from your hunt areas. Download it today at the Apple App Store or Google Play. HuntStand. Upgrade your arsenal. Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today, we have a really good conversation with Ryan Schutz of Bear Archery, and we talk about, man, a lot of stuff. We talk about innovation, design. We talk about what leads them into new design. We talk about trends in the compound bow market. We talk about customer service. We talk about how customers influence design moving forward. And it's a really fun, interesting conversation with a company that's been around for a very long time. One of the oldest compound bow manufacturers in the country. So there's a potential that there's guys out there who have been shooting bear bows for 40 plus years now. And if you're listening to this and you're a guy who has been shooting bear bows consistently, since, I don't know what, like for 40 some years, hit me up, because I would love to have a conversation with you about, like brand loyalty and things like that. So really good conversation today. We talk about the product specs a little bit towards the end, but this isn't really just a, hey, what's new from Bear. There's a lot of, really good conversation about how they make decisions and the innovation that goes into and design that goes into every new bow that they manufacture. So, like I said, interesting episode. We're going to knock out some commercials here. Average Conservationist, theaverageconservationist.com. If you haven't checked out their apparel line, I highly recommend it. They have the, I'm going to call them the dad bod type fit shirts. Not only do they have some really kick-ass logos, but they're tight in the right spots. So for me, I got some love handles. The love handles just don't stick out as much. I don't know why it is. They're tight around the chest and shoulders. I love the feel. They're soft. They're comfortable. Awesome hoodies, awesome hats, t-shirts, awesome logo wear, a lifestyle brand for sure. The cool part about this though is that they give 10% right off the top. They give 10% of their revenue to a conservation fund. Or organization or project or whatever. So you want to talk about a company that not only talks the talk about conservation, but walks the walk as well. And to me, that's very important. And not only that's why I like working with these guys, but at the same time, it's why I like having Marcus, the host of the Average Conservationist podcast, on the Sportsman's Nation Network. So yeah, big, you know, I don't know. I just, it makes me happy. So there's that. Hunt stand, right? It's that time of year where we're thinking, better shut it down. You know, season's over. You could look at it that way, or you could look at it as, hey, next season just started. And the reason I say that is because there's no better time than right now to go back and look at a digital map like Hunt Stand and look at all the places you've been and just kind of refine your strategy. Hey, why didn't this place work? Why didn't this place work? Or why did this place work? Why was I seeing deer here? Why was there a whole bunch of sign when I was scouting? And then as the season gets to an end and we get into the, you know, the shed hunting season and we go out and we do our winter scouting, I'm telling you right now, the ability to leave a trail and mark waypoints and drop pins and just category or journal everything you see in the woods from a scouting standpoint is only going to help you come next fall. So huntstand.com, discount code SN20 for 20% off of your purchase. And then lastly, Lone Wolf. You guys hear me talk about Lone Wolf all the time. American made tree stand. Some changes are going to be coming from Lone Wolf, so there's going to be a couple announcements made later this year. Keep an ear out for that. And man, just a badass tree stand. I absolutely love it. It gets me anywhere I need to go. Right, four sticks and an assault is my combination of choice. Whether I need to get 10 feet off the ground or 20 feet off the ground, I can make that happen. You don't need a straight tree. A stand combination like this puts you in the right tree, not the best, not a straight tree. You can, whether there's branches and the design, it's quiet, right? It's very quiet. So Lone Wolf, go check out Lone Wolf and enter their discount code at purchase, 9FC21, 9FC21. And you're going to be able to save $50 off all orders over $200. So buy a set of sticks, $50 off. Use the discount code. Buy a tree stand. That's another $50 off. So really, you saved $100 in two different purchases. That's what I'd do. Other than that, let's get in. We're done with the commercials. Appreciate you listening to those. If you haven't followed, if you're not subscribed to the Sportsman's Nation podcast or the Hunting Gear podcast, please do so. Tons of great information put out about that, especially if you're a gear nut. There's that. Put a smile on your face and enjoy this episode of the Hunting Gear podcast. All right, on the phone with me today from Bear Archery, Mr. Ryan Schutz. Ryan, what's up, man?
Not too much. I appreciate you having us. We're always excited to talk about our line.
Absolutely. And, I just about every single bow manufacturer on the market this time of year starts dropping hints or just straight up drops a new bow or a new line or several new bows and several new lines like what you guys do. And we're going to get into all of that today. But before we get into the meat and potatoes of today's episode, why don't you talk to us a little bit about your role at Bear and what it is you do in that role?
All right. So I am the product manager for Compound Bows. So really what I do is we have multiple engineers. We have our factory in Gainesville. So really got to coordinate all our team members and, of course, our Salesforce team. And we really gather all the data we can every year and then develop the line on what are we missing, what new should we have, what current stays, do we need to adjust any of the current, and then I guess kind of my role is kind of to make sure that, you know, all that works together so we don't miss any beats when it comes to shipping and development.
Okay. And I think that's a great place to start is the beginning of every new process. And in this market, and I'm not familiar with any other markets out there. I'm familiar with the hunting industry market, and especially with bow manufacturers, right? There's this pressure to come out with something new every single year, especially with a bow, whether it's a new design or an extension of a current design or line. How difficult is that to stay fresh every single year and be competitive?
It can be. I think where we kind of look at it each year is, I mean, you do get metrics on what people, they kind of vote, right, on what bows they like by what they buy.
Yep.
So we use it, and we have a very big line, so that allows us, you know, that we get lots of vote. You know, sometimes it's people buy a whole bunch of solo cams, or they buy a whole bunch of, you know, higher let-off cams like our EKO, or maybe just a dual cam like our legit bow. So we kind of focus on where we feel people's needs are and then kind of focus there. And then there's always things that we're trying to do better, of course, right? With speed, feel, draw curves, vibration's been something we've been very focused at the last couple of years on always trying to get better and better and better, better there. And then there's some fun stuff too, like, cosmetics, I know at times doesn't sound fun, but it's kind of fun to see how, you know, the hunting industry has changed so much from extremely digital camo patterns, right? Just as high definition as could be, to now a lot of the camo patterns that are becoming popular again are like older patterns. Like we reintroduced our Fred Bear pattern that was a playoff Fred's original pattern. We have Mossy Oak Bottomlands back in our line again. It's fun to see some of those older patterns, so to say, or retro, I guess, is the word the kids like to use now, or my kids would say, come back into mainstream.
Yeah. But isn't that the truth with everything, though? Like, I'm a product of the 80s, right? So even today, if I bought my kids a Nintendo, with all of the crazy stuff that they have, they would think that's real cool, I think. And the same goes with fashion. It's almost like it may not come back as big as it was originally, but at some point, all fads or looks kind of come back into play at some point.
It sure seems like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, well, like you just said, I'm kind of a product of the 80s as well. So when you see that older camo, you're like, yeah, I love it.
Because
I remember liking it the first time. I sure like it the second time.
Exactly. So, you know, you mentioned voting, right? And how the consumer basically votes on what they like. How does that then influence the next product line out of Bear?
So I would say it greatly influences it. So at Bear, we are very fortunate that we're full of hunters and archers alike. So we all kind of have our own feelings on, you know, some of us like more solid back walls, some of us don't. So any archer, I feel, can become pretty opinionated, especially once you do it a lot, to kind of become like an expert level at it. And then we use, you know, those thoughts and feelings, and then of course you mix it with what the consumer is buying, right? And where they're moving. So I would say they have the most influence on what we do. Yeah. And you can definitely see it through the years on archery, where you see speed kind of drives us for a while, and then maybe vibration-free drives people for a while. I mean, there always seems to be kind of, I want to say one or two specs, but kind of a direction you could tell that the right. industry heads.
Right. Why do you think that is, especially with compound bows? Because I would assume that just an overall good bow would trump every, like, one specific category. Like, for me, and this is just one person's opinion, but I would rather have a bow that has a great draw cycle and low hand shock, as opposed to a bow that hits 500 feet per second. You know what I mean? Like, how do you guys weigh one category versus the other?
I would say we're lucky enough that we can have many models that everybody seems to like, that you'll see us maybe weigh in one model that speed is more important to us, and then maybe in another model complete balance is more important to us. So we're pretty fortunate to be able to have multiple models, so we can kind of focus that way.
Yeah.
That way we can give, because what you said is really valid. How we look at it is, there's not one perfect bow that would just answer every consumer's needs. And we're happy that that's true, unless it was one of ours, and we'd even be more happy about it being true.
Yeah.
But it's, because it's not, everybody likes to try different things, right? So we try to make sure that we just don't, well, we're going to only have the fastest bows, because to what you just said, we would miss out on some customers that want to, that aren't looking for the exact fastest bow.
Gotcha.
And I would say our flagship kind of works that way, right? Like, we tried to make sure that it's still very fast, but it's a little bit longer ATA compared to what some hunting bows are, but a lot of vibration technology. So we really try to give, you know, I like to think of, like, the best of multiple categories to make one bow.
Yeah. Okay. So in your opinion, talk to us a little bit, not just about Bear, but the, you know, from what you know, right? What is the compound bow market like right now? Are we heading in a specific direction? Do you have any trends identified, and just kind of an overall conversation about the compound bow market in general?
Well, we think, and this is super high level, but ease of use, we believe, is very important right now to the consumer. Everything that's happened in the 2 years, or last 2 years, with COVID and everything, I mean, it's affected all industries.
Yep.
And really all of us, right? The whole world. So a lot of us then has had to start to do things more on our own, where it's not as easy. There for a while, it wasn't very easy to go to your local pro shop and stuff and get work done on your bow. So, like, many of our models, and many of them had it for a long time, you know, have adjustable modules. So I'll just give you a general. A lot of them are adjustable from, like, 25 to 30 inches. So you're able to adjust that draw length without even using a bow press.
Yeah.
So we try to, you know, that's one thing that we definitely see the maybe the world is more that way. And some of that happened before COVID, of course, too, where YouTube and things like that has definitely changed people's perspective on stuff, because you can just about look up how to do anything on anything.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So who would ever thought you could look up how to fix your dryer online and be able to actually do it? But you can, right?
Right.
So archery is not that technical. So We definitely see that, but we also see that balance seems to be more of the thing more than anything now. People want something that shoots really, really well, accurate, fast, but then also smooth. So a balanced hunting bow, which is where we always kind of focus, is definitely, you know, where we see ourselves at. And then we also just see the market, especially after COVID, seems to be that way, with kind of the influx of new archers. You don't want to be intimidating by having things that are difficult to work on.
Yeah. Okay. This is a question that, like, I'm not an engineer, so I don't know how to answer this question if someone was to ask me this. So that's why I'm going to ask you, someone who's in it all the time. Let's say I look on a piece of paper, and I'm looking at the specs, just paper, of this year's bow compared to last year's bow, compared to the previous years, even 5-10 years ago. The specs kind of look the same. And I'm not talking about Bear in general. I'm talking about all bow companies, right?
Yeah, you're correct.
How does the, you know, how do we get away from people going, well, there's this, this, and this? Well, you know, that doesn't matter anymore. Like, to me, the specs on a bow don't matter anymore because we've evolved past this. You know, we've evolved into better technology, better design, better innovation, all that stuff. How do you think that we're ever going to reach like a plateau, or are we there now, or how do we get out of a plateau if we are on one? Like, what's that conversation look like?
Yeah, that's tough. The bows are all extremely efficient, like you said. I mean, once you get to a certain level, all of us make great compound bows that are very efficient just about everywhere there can be. I mean, we're, you know, the limbs with the carbon that we're all using, all the materials are really, you know, the best of the best, especially when you compare to like 5-6 years ago, because sometimes people will say, well, the specs close to 10 years ago. It's like, shoot those two bows together and tell me they're the same.
Exactly.
The only thing I could think is like what you said, the more availability and places to go to shoot, I think, and that does seem to increase with more pro shops and other places that allow you to try the bows, feels like the answer to that question is when a guy can actually shoot them and you don't just have to read the specs. You can go in and be like, can I try these 5 bows and really, you know, get them all set, kind of like almost shopping for shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know this as an archer. You need them all set for you. So if you're a 28-inch draw length, if you could shoot 4 bows all at 28-inch and whatever weight you wanted to shoot, boy, you could really kind of just forget about the specs and just go off what felt best for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I recommend that, recommend that all the time. Like, I know a lot of people are brand loyal. I am going to say I probably am not. I lean towards what feels comfortable for me. Sometimes that's the same brand over and over again, and sometimes it's not. So, do you think brand loyalty has a lot to play in how people pick their archery equipment? And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
So, I definitely think it definitely weighs heavy that there is a lot of brand loyalty in compound bows. I would been in the outdoor industry a long time, and probably, I mean, almost as, I would say there's as much loyalty in compound bows as potentially firearms and really anything else. So a lot of brand loyalty on, well, I've got to check out the new Bear bow, right?
Right.
So we'll use our brand loyalty, which we love. And, you know, Bear's been around a very, very long time, since 1933. So lots of brand loyalty there, right? So I think that helps get people on, well, that's my brand. I'm going to check out what they have new all the time. But I do think when, you know, certain pro shops and things like that, you're able to shoot multiple brands like we talked. And then as for it's good or bad, obviously I work for a brand, so I think it's good. And
yeah.
Now from the flip side of that, we of course like the fair share of, if you're looking for a bow with great balance or something like that and you've always shot brand X, we would love for you to give our brand a try.
Yeah.
So it kind of goes twofold there, but you get it. As brands go, there's so much more than just the specs and the performance. It's
yeah.
customer service, availability, longevity. So many things start to, you know, become a factor.
Yeah. All right. So let me ask you this question, kind of just popped in my head about, I don't know if you have any data on this, but you've mentioned that Bear Bows has been around a long time, and you have potentially some people who have been shooting Bear Bows for 40 plus years or something like that. Okay. What do those, what does that demographic, maybe someone in their 50s and 60s who's still a compound bow shooter, still uses bear. How do their likes and dislikes differ or are similar from someone who maybe have only been shooting a compound bow for 5 years and maybe they're in their 20s?
Yeah, I think what I will actually say, especially this last couple of years, that we've seen many archers resurface that used to shoot a long time ago. And then, you know, now that we were all forced home and do more things on our own through COVID, we had kind of a rush of people really wanting to talk and ask about solo cam bows, mm-hmm. which were very, very popular. You know, 5-10 years ago, we have still tried to keep usually at least 3 in the line for the last few years. But that was something that kind of surprised us a little bit on how many questions and how popular they became again lately in our line. And as we talked to more people, it was a lot of individuals that shot them when they were that thing in the early 90s, right? And then kind of just, or early 90s, kind of early late 90s and on through the last few years. So I do think sometimes when you get out of a sport and then get back into it, maybe you're not quite aware of all the different technologies in there. Gotcha. But then I would also say, like, our core guy that really likes our brand, there's certain things we do very similar a lot. You know, how our mods work to change the draw lengths. If you start to adjust that too much, you kind of hear from people. Also, the way that, especially in bows, it feels like the way that the handle and the grip on bows tend to be pretty specific to brands, and then people start to really gravitate to those small things like that.
Gotcha. So when you mentioned this ease of use, right? A lot of these companies are going to the ease of use where you don't even need to have a bow press to make some of these adjustments on the bow itself. Who are you making these adjustments for? Let's say new design, new innovation, knowing that, I mean, I should ask a different question first. Do you feel more people work on their bows by themselves, or do you feel more people take it to a bow shop?
I think it depends on what type of bow you buy. I definitely think that we're in a society now where people like to work more on their own stuff than we ever have been. So I think certain bows, like I would say, like our legit bow, we're kind of in entry-level, mid to entry-level bow, where we make it almost like they're on the actual cam. I mean, it will tell you if you're at 23 inches or 29 inches. And then also on bows like that, you know, they're kind of meant so you could start, I'm going to say, younger teen, something like that, so you could grow. So, you know, you could start when you're only at 24 inch, and then to wherever you end up, that bow could go all the way to 70 pounds. So something like that, where you know you're going to have to change it every now and then, I definitely think that customer works on their bow quite a bit. Yeah. But then when you're kind of, you know, I'm going to call myself more mature, I know what my draw length's going to be, and I know a lot from which cam I'm looking at on how their draw curves are probably going to be, just by studying how their track 1, 2, 3, just depending on what type of cam I'm buying. But I'm not going to work on that very much. You know, I take that to a pro shop, tell them to set it at 28 inches and in my weight, and then go from there and let a pro shop fine tune that. So I think it's a little different when you're talking at different price points.
Right. So with that said, then, when you guys are sitting down and you're at the round table of what's going to happen in the next year, what's going to happen in the next 5 years, all that stuff, how do you guys make decisions based off of that specific demographic? And I mean, like, is this bow going to be dealt with at a bow shop and need a bow press and have a professional look at it? Or is this change in innovation going to lead more towards the guy who can do it himself in his garage?
So I would say, I know this isn't a very exciting answer, but we try to make it both, because there is no doubt that taking a bow to a pro shop with a professional working on it can do things to a bow that you might not be able to do it at home, even with a bow press. I mean, experience matters when you're talking on anybody's bow. I mean, the fine tuning and things like that, the pro shops, especially with really good archery technicians, can do to bows. You know, there's so many fine tune adjustments you can do to really make a bow just perform just like an automobile, right? But then there's also, could you work on it at home and make it perform very well too if you had a bow press and things like that? Of course. And then you get into what accessories and things like that all matter as well, right? So are you using a capture rest like a whisker biscuit? Are you using a drop away? And then depending on the drop away, you know, how much tuning do you need to do on that? Is it limb driven? Is it cable driven? So there's just so many different aspects to look at that. And the beauty of those pro shops are, you know, they're probably an expert on every scenario that I can think of, and there's thousands of them that you could come up with versus just, you know, picking one and trying to do it your first time. So I could say that a lot of our bows, we want to make sure that they're great right out of the box. And then of course, if you get the more time you can spend with the pro shop and getting things set up, the better.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about some of the lines that you guys have a little bit. And talk about, I think you mentioned there's two that we should at least talk about. One is the Legend series and one is the Mainline series. Let's talk a little bit about the new bows from the Legend series. What's changed from the previous year? Kind of talk to us about any major changes, any little changes, any innovation that was tweaked to make this, you know, last year's innovation tweaked to make this year's bow better or different?
Yeah. So really the big one would be our Refine, which it replaced in our line called the Status EKO bow. So the cam stayed the same with some small tweaks, but the overall bow had some major changes. So it's a complete new riser. And then within that riser, we put our VRS system inside of it. And the VRS system we introduced on the Redemption last year, but even with that, we added more to it than we had before. So it's not just our standard VRS system. So on our VRS system, we have what we call our vibration discs. Those discs really moved to the outside of the riser, more in front of the riser. Then we also added one to our string catch rod that came across, which really helps grab any vibration that the string might be putting in that as it catches. We also made the string catch itself a little bit bigger and dense, changed the material that we had in there, and saw some great vibration reduction properties by doing that. We also put a new grip on this bow. It's called our Grizz Grip. And we didn't make drastic changes to our grips that we offered before, but we added just a little bit, I'm going to call it just a little bit more of a palm swell. So it's not oversized by any means, but just kind of grabs there right in your palm, kind of on the backside of your thumb there as you get into your palm. Just helps your hand rest just a little bit better and kind of more consistent then on where your hand hits the neck of the bow and the riser right there. So we're pretty excited about that. We've had a lot of people comment that, you know, a lot of people like a minimal grip, like no grip if possible. And many of those people have told us then that they were surprised at how much they liked this grip and would use it versus just having a very slender grip, which we do offer with that bow as well.
Okay. Maybe I missed this. What's the EKO stand for?
Oh, so our EKO cam, so it's what we call our cam or echo. So we kind of call it EKO or echo.
Oh, okay.
And really what we focused on that cam is adjustable with let off. So you can get 75, 80, 85, and 90%. So I should have probably mentioned this on more adjustment too. So I'm glad you called that back out. So what we did on that is, so again, without a bow press, it's all in our manuals on how to do it. is we allow you to, you know, if you set your bow at 28 inches or whatever your draw length is, you can then fine tune it on the cam to what let off you want at that draw length.
I gotcha. Okay, makes sense.
And of course, a lot of people kind of like, well, you, in certain states you have to be at certain let offs, but then some people might want, oh, I'm just making it up, 75% for turkey hunting, but maybe on an elk hunt where they think they have to hold it longer, they want 90. Either way, you can change it, and there's no wrong way to do it.
Okay. Any other new from the Refine or the Legend series? Any new bows or any new technology you want to touch base on?
The other really thing I think that would be there's actually two other bows. Well, one other bow in the Legend series. It's called our Whitetail Legend Pro. Okay. So we launched the Whitetail Legend last year and had really good success with it. And of course, that's also a play off of, you know, the Fred Bear's original Whitetail Hunter. So a lot of people gravitated to that name, but of course there's a lot more technology in this bow as time has changed. What we did on this bow is, again, the Refine has all the best that we can offer when it comes to vibration, things like that. The Whitetail Pro still features the EKO cam, but then becomes a much better price point type bow, or maybe get you into archery if you can't afford our flagship. So it starts at like a $559 MSRP versus a Refine being $1,000 MSRP. And you're still getting some great specs, almost 340 speed. This bow is a little bit shorter, though, at a 30-inch axle, which is still very popular. And then it's still adjustable from 26 to 30. So it gets you some really good specs at a little bit more affordable price. And does not, it still does well on vibration, but doesn't have the full VRS system that our other bow has. It does have in-limb dampeners that we just redesigned this last year. And then also does have a good string stop that helps take some vibration out as well.
Gotcha.
And a different grip system.
Gotcha. So I'm looking at the specs between both bows right now. I believe the EKO that we just talked about, the Refine EKO was like 4.4 pounds. And the one that we just talked about here, the Whitetail Hunter, was 3.8 pounds. Now,
yes.
Man, I just feel like bows are getting lighter and lighter and lighter. Is there such thing as too light? I mean, do we hit a point where it's just, I don't know, we're starting to shoot a pool noodle compared to a, you know, a solid, or is that where the design comes in?
Oh, it's definitely where the design comes in. I would tell you, so we test, we would make sure that everything's structurally sound no matter what the weight would be, right? So
right.
There's a very robust testing procedure on all of our bows, no matter what the bow is. But with that, with weight, so back to kind of when you talked about what's our round table. So we see there's a group of customers that can't be too light, and then there's another group of customers where it can't be too heavy. And of course, just like most things, as a bow's a little bit heavier, it's of course easier to take vibration and things like that out, right? Especially felt vibration, because there's more than one type of vibration. But then also, then as you get lighter, it gets a little bit more difficult. But one thing also that these allow you, because we're talking bare bows here, right? So if you're starting at 3.8 pounds and you don't have any accessories on it yet, you can keep the bow fairly light as long as you want it to be with what accessories you end up putting on there, right? So, or you can make it heavy by putting heavier accessories on there and adding weight in certain places, stabilizers and whatnot. So we kind of want to make sure that our customer has the choice to be able to do that.
Right. Okay.
And then also that weight that you add to the bow, depending on where you put that weight, changes the balance. And some people like the bows to balance a little bit different too.
Right. You know, that's a great point that, you know, some grips on bows are right dead center in the middle of the riser. Some are lower, some are a lot lower. than center. What does that do to the balance of the bow?
So right off the bat, it like after a shot or even when you're holding the bow, some will want to rock forward more, or some won't want to rock forward at all. So where you change that grip has a huge impact on that. Also, then as you're shooting and stuff, that feel changes as well too. But that's also now that's all adjustable on certain. You know, that's where you see some people have longer stabilizers. And then also depending on where you put your weight, because some people, it's not just how it'll rock. It's some people want it to rock forward fast, meaning they'll put a lot of weight out front. Or so after a shot wants to move quickly. I like it to, for hunting purposes, I like it to be pretty balanced and use like a sidebar and do some different things like that. But everybody's different, so we want to be able to allow you to be able to adjust it the way you like it too.
Yeah. Okay. What about the next lineup, the main line? What's new from the main line?
So there's a lot new in the main line as well. De-escalate is new, which is pretty exciting. The bow underneath it, though, is probably the one I'm the most excited to talk about, the Resurgence. The Escalate, though, what's very exciting about it is in our main line, we didn't offer much on the VRS systems before, and now we do. So this has not quite everything that the Refine does, but it does have the two discs inside the riser. They're almost hidden how we have them inside, but we really do a lot of research and a lot of, I would just say, trial and error on where to place those inside the riser to get the most bang for our buck, so to say, on where we put them, where it reduces the vibration the most. And in this particular riser, that was definitely where it worked out the best, but it kind of hides them inside there. And then this also gets our Grizz grip, which we're pretty excited about. This bow is a little bit shorter than the Refine, which is a flagship in the main line. So still gives you a very high-performing bow, but some people like that a little bit shorter axle-to-axle. This is a 31, still very fast at 339. And this also does have our in-limb dampeners as well. So you get quite a bit of vibration dampening properties within this bow as well, but a little bit shorter.
Gotcha. Okay. And then you mentioned the Resurgence.
So the Resurgence is a really fun bow for us. So this has a new cam for us this year. So we call it our DHC hybrid cam. So Bear has done hybrid cams for a long, long time, years and years. And they used to be our best of the best cam for a long time until we developed the EKO about 2 years ago. Now, we had always kept it at 75% let off. So this year, this is the first time Bear had done a hybrid cam and 80% let off. So it was very exciting for us. And of course, you're getting some different draw cycles in between an EKO cam and a hybrid cam, which is fine. So that way, some customers like that feel a little bit better. This 80% cam, I think, feels great, and especially if you like something that's really solid once you draw it. But everybody kind of has their own opinion there. It's still very fast at 335. On this particular bow, it's at that 32-inch axle, which, you know, is not quite as short as what you see on the market now with a lot of 29s and 30s, but not as long, where you're starting to see some trend more back to those 33s and 34s. We also were pretty excited on this particular cam that it goes from 25.5 to 31. So that's getting a lot of draw length, so you can really fine tune your draw length on this.
Yeah. And like you said, grow with the bow if you need to bump up.
Yep. And where we're excited too is with Bear, Fred Bear's passion was to get everybody good in the archery. I mean, that's why it kind of started with the traditional and things like that, and then morphed into compound bow and even crossbow. So we think about that stuff all the time at Bear. So, I mean, the price point on this bow is $629 as a package, meaning you get the rest and the quiver and stabilizer and sight. I mean, really everything you need to to get going. And there's a lot of bow for your money there with that new cam. So
yeah,
that's why that one's so exciting to me.
Gotcha. All right. So let's see here. I got a question. When you guys are sitting around and we talked short term there for a second, we talked about, you know, earlier in the podcast, we talked about how do you guys go about sitting down and figuring out what is going to happen for the next year. Right. And then the year after that and whatnot. What are your conversations like, for like a 5-year or a 10-year plan? Number one, from the standpoint that you guys have been around for so long. And number two, how it seems that trends, especially in the compound bow market, seem to be like on a wing. They're not like a 5-year trend, then another 5-year trend. It seems like there's a trend this year is going to be short axle to axle. Next year, it could be long axle to axle. And like, and how do you keep up with that?
Isn't it crazy how it seems to go from ditch to ditch at times?
Yeah.
I would say, so we make sure that we have plans out in the future. We're always trying to test and develop multiple things. So to your point on like, how do you stay ahead of it? I think we try to stay on top of it, being that we're always testing new concepts. Nothing starts out bad because you just don't know how things will test. I mean, we have a great group of engineers, and you have to have that to keep moving forward to see if there's ways to do things better. And I think what you have to definitely stay away from is like, oh yeah, that cam's perfect, it can never be better.
Right.
We don't think like that. I mean, don't get me wrong, we get very happy with our cams, and we would never introduce something that we didn't think was great. But we're always like, wow, I wonder if there's a way to get more let off on there, or can you get more let off but have a preferable draw curve as you do it. I mean, there's so many small technical ways to improve on things like that.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Ryan, man, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on and chat with us, and a very awesome conversation, very interesting, about Bear. If people want to maybe go test out a bow or find more information out about, Bear archery and any of the accessories that you guys kind of have, where should we send them?
So beararchery.com is a great resource to go check out any of the bows and things we carry. Also on there, we have a dealer locator, and you know, I would encourage anybody to try to go find a dealer as close as you can to you, and you know, test drive some of these, see what feels best for you.
Absolutely. All right, Ryan, really appreciate your time. Thank you much.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences, and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity, and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently, too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.